People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM, the Bay Area's Bollywood station. My name is Greg, and I have with me my good friend and co-host, Larry. What's up, brother?
Good morning. You actually stalled there when you said your name.
You know why?
You forgot it.
You know why I stalled on my name?
That's
because
why.
For about 15 years, I used to do an afternoon radio show.
I know you did. I'm
New
working
York.
With, what do you call this? Celebrity here.
I used to go by the name Race.
And Race?
My name on the air was Race. That was my DJ name.
Really?
Okay. And because of that, I just had a blank. I said I haven't called myself that in about 4 years, but I still...
Oh,
every
you were going to call yourself Race?
I almost called myself, hey, it's Race.
Oh, wow.
That was what I did every time I opened the microphone.
Why don't you do it now?
Because...
Let's change your name.
I don't need to be anonymous out here.
Nobody knows you anyway.
No one knows me out here. It's great. Yeah, back at home on the East Coast, I used to have to do it. Because I didn't want people to know my real name because they would be able to seek me out, right? Like, you know, and that's the thing
like,
in radio.
Like, really? Come on. Nobody's going to know who you were.
Of course. No one did, Larry. But I always thought that maybe that would be the case. So I didn't want to use my real name.
If it were me, I can see that. But you?
Yeah, of course.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
That's how it works, Larry.
Really?
So in any case, it's good to be back for another edition of the show.
Always is. Always.
It was funny. We were talking about this off air, and we were... discussing how this show has evolved, right? So it's the dog days of summer, as they say.
It really is.
In that we're in the middle of July and everyone's vacationing. A lot of the local nonprofits, a lot of the local organizations kind of shut down around this time because people are on vacation. It's one or two people. They're doing their thing. So we don't normally we have guests lined up every week. And there's been a tough time because of cancellations and people taking vacations. So we decided, okay, we'll take a couple weeks to just sort of reestablish what we are and why we do what we do and just sort of have discussions about different topics and such. But off air, we were talking about what the show started as and what it's evolved into and how neither of us had any clue what it would have become 3-4 years later.
That's true. I remember when it first started out. And I don't know, I mean, this is a new audience, so I don't, I mean, we might have touched on it in the past, but I don't think not really. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we started out with people helping people with the idea of people would call in if they needed something and we would set them up with somebody. And it never really happened that way.
Should we give an example of what that means? Like, so, do you remember the first show? Do you remember what we did? How good is your memory?
Well, you weren't here.
You just answered that.
You were not
here. All right.
Yes, you were gone.
I'm talking about our first show, you and I, when we did it together.
You mean when you and I first did a show?
No, it was you, myself, and Lavanya at the time.
It wasn't you. It was not our first show.
I'm talking about the first show we did together. I'm not talking about
what you did. That's what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
The first show
really
we
didn't start until I got there.
You're right. I have to say.
No, but we were doing, the whole thought was, if like we go on the air and open the phone lines and then somebody can call in and say, hey, I have a son who has a broken leg. I'm just going to use this as an example. I have a son who has a broken leg and I don't have crutches. We don't have health insurance. And then we'd say, hey, is there anyone listening right now who has crutches or something that might be able to help? Or something like that. Like say like I have a daughter who's recently unable to walk and in a wheelchair or a father or a mother in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And we can't afford to put in a ramp. And then we say like, is there somebody listening who might be able to come and help build something at these people's houses? And that was really what we were thinking.
That
people
was it.
Literally helping one another.
Yeah, that was it.
And sort of donating whether they have something in their house or whether they have a skill that might be able to help, right?
Yes, that's true. So, and we did have people call in now and then, but it never really panned out.
No,
never
but
really
I remember the best way. Part of what of that sort of concept was when we did something. It was a homeless gentleman,
and it that worked.
Who called
actually.
Us and said he was recently out of work and he's now living on the streets because he couldn't afford to live. And he was like, only a few months ago, I had a house and you know I was doing really well, and now I'm living on the streets.
Yeah.
And we were like, felt terrible. And we had somebody call us off air and basically said they wanted to help him.
And they did.
They did. They and they did. Actually not only helped them, they fed him, they gave him clothes, yeah, they let him stay with them.
Yeah, they did. They drove over there and found him and helped him out wherever he was located.
Eventually he ended up back on his feet. I really don't know whatever happened to the gentleman that happened. But I remember being like, wow, this is a powerful medium here.
It was. Is.
Which is what helped the show develop, really. I think that specific idea.
Yeah.
Because we said we can do more by just offering this as a platform for other people. Because you and I are average dudes, right?
I mean, well, aside from being I never said
alarmingly handsome and charming. We're meaning that like you're, you know, we don't work in a nonprofit field.
No,
right?
And we're not professional. I mean, we don't know everything.
No,
everything we talk about, we absolutely know nothing about.
Or we've learned leading into that show.
That's true. But we have to do our research, of course.
Oh, God.
We're not inept.
So we always say we're conduits, right? So
yeah, we're conduits.
We would think is like, okay, this week we're going to, let's talk about this, you know, some big issues out there. Let's talk about special needs children.
Yeah.
And then that subject, we do some research and we'd find out who to get in the studio. We'd bring someone in.
Mm-hmm.
That person would end up going on the air and we would just ask questions.
Yeah.
And then that turned into knowledge, right? And then the more we've kept in touch with these people and spoke to them, we learned more. And then not to say we became experts, but we came informed. We became informed and educated enough to continue to teach and bring people to the station to talk about it.
We became aware.
Yeah.
And that's what we ask our guests to make the listener aware of what's going on in their particular situation in their foundation, what they need help with, how the listener can help. And so they just educate the audience, what they do.
And I think...
And us.
And us. Always. We're learning every day. I've learned... I always say, like, there was a time when I knew nothing about all of these topics.
There was a time?
Maybe a few different topics. I had some knowledge just on my reading, because I like to read, and I read a lot of books and newspaper articles and such.
I won't say anything.
I'm not asking you to say anything. You were interrupting me. I was just
giving you a look.
There was a time when I really didn't know anything about these things. And then, you know, just from being around people that have knowledge and the people are trying to do, there's people out there doing amazing things.
Yeah, they really
and
are.
And really for no fanfare and no money.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it just simply because they want to help. And maybe it's because it's close to home. So everyone that's listening to this show probably has at least one thing that's close to home, right? Whether it's breast cancer research, or whether it's domestic abuse, whether it's special needs, whether it's Downs, I know is very close to your home, and you feel very passionate about it.
Yep.
So we all have something generally that we feel passionate about, and then in some cases we have multiple things. But for the most part, we're all sort of novice at all these subjects, but we want to help. I know that's the one thing I hear more than anything else is like, hey, I love that you guys do this because it really shows that you want to help and do something. And this is really the absolute least we can do.
Yeah.
Is give people a platform.
I think so.
But it works. So if you're one of those people and you're listening to this show maybe once every now and then, or you listen weekly, maybe it's part of your routine, that would be lovely. And you're thinking like, what can I do? How do I get involved? Well, this is something you can do simple, right? It's just to get in touch with us. Just to say, maybe find that one thing you're passionate about, or maybe somebody you know. This is the easiest thing, actually. Find somebody you know that has knowledge or passion about anything that we need to like learn about, or something that's sort of nonprofit, community service.
Well, typically it's nonprofit, but not always.
Yeah,
but just,
sometimes for profit.
Yeah, yeah. Just an idea. I mean, we cover any topic imaginable. So we don't really have a lid on topics. I mean, we have so much more that we need to explore.
Yes.
And your ideas always help us a lot. So we need your input. You're part of the show. So we're just the mouthpiece is all.
Yeah, and I think... I always feel that we all know people that we think are special, right? Like we all know someone who's like, oh, that guy's unbelievable, or that girl's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, those are the people we'd like to talk to. And in some cases, those people might not have their own nonprofit. But they might have knowledge.
True.
They might have know other people that we can speak to. Because I think that's what we want to, as the show evolves, as it has evolved and will continue to evolve, we need to bring in more people that want to make a difference in some way and use this bit of time each week as an opportunity to educate people because unfortunately we're all too busy in our regular lives to really spend 24/7 on anything. That's true. We need to use these little pockets of time that we've been given, and we're lucky enough to have this window of time each week. Mm-hmm. And because we do, we want to do the best we can with this 30 minutes. And right now it's been a slower time, but it's okay to educate people on what the show is and maybe how they can get involved, Larry.
Yeah, we get the practice.
You know, yeah.
Practice or
I mean, you whatever. Were you reached out to somebody this week, the Silicon Valley Down Syndrome...
Network. Yes, I
did. They're where? San Jose?
Yeah, in San Jose.
And again, anybody who's listened to the show at all knows Larry is very passionate about Down.
Down, yeah, absolutely.
And matter of fact, whenever we have an open show and there's something where we're pretty desperate
we talk
to find
about
a guest, you'll say, like, let's find somebody, and I know you'll reach right out to one of the Downs networks.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is totally okay. That's what you're passionate about.
So I did. I mean, I did. It's not been easy. It's not always an easy thing. I mean, Greg and I both have full-time jobs. So we do this, our research and everything, after hours or maybe sometimes during the day if we have a little bit of time to do that. So it's not as easy as what a lot of people think, because we do have to do our research to find out these people really qualify to be on the show.
Yeah.
And so I was able to contact somebody with Silicon Valley Down Syndrome Network. Mm-hmm. I hope I said that correctly.
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay. His name was Bill O'Day, and we had a great conversation. So because it is a network of families who have Down children or, you know, relatives with Down, or even know somebody with Down, but they are intimately involved. It's made up of these families, and they're very passionate about the work that they do. So I hope that in the near future we can have him on the show. He said he was going to do some research and dig up some people to represent that foundation, and we'll have him, hopefully we can have him physically in the studio. That would be an interesting interview.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
And that's only one thing we've been working on. The other thing was NAMI, a mental health organization. Now, we do have somebody that we're going to have on the show. We have several dates that mm-hmm. she gave us, and we will have her as a representative from NAMI. I think her name is Kathy Forward.
Yes, that's right. Good memory, Larry.
With NAMI.
Yeah. Sound like you.
Yeah.
You know what's something as well? I, a topic we've never covered, but I know someone who's,
how to make
who's
money,
handling
how
it.
To make money and no. keep it.
Have you ever heard of Dravet syndrome? Dravet syndrome. It's a
how do you spell
it?
It
used to be is Dravet.
Dravet.
It used to be known as severe myoclonic epilepsy of infancy, SMEI. It's a type of epilepsy with seizures that are often triggered by hot temperatures or fever, right? Huh. It happens to very young children, and then generally people with Dravets require constant 100 times, like every bit of the day they have to have care. Condition severely impacts their quality of life. About 10 to 20% of the people with the condition are estimated to pass away before adulthood, with most premature deaths occurring before 10, right? So wow. We have a friend of the family who whose daughter just had a baby, had actually a child, he's probably about 3 or 4 now, who has Dravet, and his whole life it's been, you know, 100 seizures a day, you know, sometimes less. And they've been trying all the experimental treatments. He's always in and out of the hospital.
I do remember something like that.
He's on certain medication that basically makes him almost like he still hasn't really been able to walk. He doesn't speak much because of the medications he's on to keep him
sure.
having the seizures, which are often very violent and bad. And every time he has a seizure, it could kill him. You know, it's that. It's if they leave it untreated, they are fatal for sure. The long term prognosis, life expectancy, not really understood yet, but they just can't figure. It's such a small amount of people that have it. It's rare, for certain. It's lifelong, and I think there was something like it affects 1 in every 15,700 individuals. 80% have a mutation in their genes. But it's a very rare disease, but they, unfortunately, they just don't know a lot about it. And there's not a lot of research for it. And families that deal with it, like this particular girl, Kristen, who's a young girl, she's probably 26, 27. Her whole life is, and she has another daughter who's younger, but their whole life, her and her husband, is basically taking this kid to and from and making, trying to keep him, you know, stable. And it's the saddest thing. I see her post, and the reason I'm bringing this up is last night or two nights ago, she put up a post on Facebook saying, like, this is what my, how my day went, and explained that he, she was taking him to the Child Hospital of Philly CHOP, which is like one of the most revered in the country, one of the best hospitals for children in the country. And as they brought him there in the lobby, he had like a very violent, bad seizure. And to the point where they're like trying to figure out, like, because whatever they've been using to keep his seizures at bay isn't working anymore. So they're trying experimental treatments to just basically try and keep him alive. And he's got tubes. He's, they're saying they're going to have to put a permanent feeding tube and such. And it's just really devastating to see a 4 or 5 year old boy that lives this way. And when you see him in the videos when he's fine and he still looks like he's very drugged up, you know, he's got, his eyes are small and he's like, you know, he's, you could just see he's got very little energy. Yeah. It's devastating. And here's a disease that not many people know about. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of research and there's not a lot of known information that they can actually say. So the only, you know, she said one of the few things that was working for him was marijuana, THC and CBD. And in New Jersey, they wouldn't allow him. So she was she would have to get it illegally every time. So she actually was contemplating moving to Florida, I believe, because you can get it medically. But Jersey passed a law recently that said that you can, for medical purposes, and they're trying to legalize it in New Jersey, but for medical purposes, you can obtain it. So now she's able to get it.
So that's what I wanted to say. Can I interrupt you right there?
Yeah.
I did work for a facility here in San Jose, a very large one, about 16,000 square feet, with brand new, is about 2-3 years ago now, a medical marijuana facility. Okay. And they were talking, I interviewed with three owners. And one of the owners had said, you know, Larry, he said, they've done a lot of research on cannabis. And he said, we had a client, a patient, whatever you want to call him, and it was a girl, I can't remember how old, she was older than that, 4 years old. I think she was 12 or 13 maybe. And nothing worked for her seizures. Same type of thing. I didn't remember the name that he used, but it sounds like it was the very same thing. And nothing worked for her.
Yeah.
Nothing worked for her. And they put her on, it was an oil, and it worked. She was down to like one seizure a day, two seizures a day, and they were
still.
It's amazing.
Because she actually said that that is one of the only things that's actually helped, what do you call it, like curtail?
Sedate him,
like,
or?
Would like
curtail?
Curtail the seizures. Like, yeah. Kind of tell. I just wanted to read this post that she put up, just if I can get it.
That's heartbreaking.
My signal. Just to give you an idea. Like, and these are the, this is why, again, why sometimes we do these shows. And like, you know, even though we say we don't really know much, but we're trying. I see if I can get this to pull up. For some reason, there's no signal in here. But when I read these posts and I read what she says as a mother, as what she's saying, and seeing how helpless she feels constantly and how depressed it makes her, but that's pretty much, her life has gone from being a young mother excited about life to now every day treating and caring for her son to the point where at any minute she can expect a seizure, epileptic seizure. And we're not talking like mini seizures. We're talking like every time he has a seizure, it's like a huge event. And when you watch the videos of him trying to live his life and trying to be normal kid, it just jars me. It gives me, like, you know, a knot in my stomach, because I can only imagine as a parent watching your child this way. So I just want to give you, you mind if I read this?
I don't mind at all. No, I want you to.
I don't want to be downer here, but it's like, so today we had our checkup with neurologist at CHOP. Here's how it went. Drove 2 hours in traffic, walk in the lobby, seizure. I'm like, you have to be kidding. I lay Tyler on the floor on his side and use the magnet. 20 seconds, not too bad. We go in for our first visit, 2 hours. We are 2 hours, we are with the doctor. VNS is now up to every 3 minutes instead of every 5. We have to go to feeding evaluations and figure out if he can continue to eat solid foods, as well as psychotherapy. We need to up his physical therapy from 5 times a week to 10 times a week due to regression. We need to up behavioral hours, and we are waiting on a private duty nursing for 100% of the day. It's never ending. Welcome to my day. Bet it just stressed you out reading about this. Dravets suck was the next one. So then here's the update. Current situation, my poor baby, 35 minutes and still at it. Pardon my French, but she put something nice. He was being worked on at this time, right? Then there's another picture with him. Minor ear infection causing uncontrollable seizures for over 35 minutes. This is about 10 hours ago. Thank God I have a brain and enough knowledge to know what to give and when. Couldn't give the emergency febrile seizure med because he was actively seizing and couldn't swallow. Didn't want to give diastat because he gets too hyper from it. So I chose the option of his liquid medication to bring him out long enough to give him one pill. Finally came out of the status when the ambulance pulled into the hospital. We were the life of the ER due to us. Being the only people there. We got in quickly. We just arrived home safe and sound. Please pray. So this is like these posts are like the last 24 hours, right? This is pretty much what you'll. And she updates it because her family is constantly wondering what's going on. So she does this for her family and friends to see. And if you read her feed, this is what it is all the time. Now imagine having a child, and this is what your life is. So again, I don't know anybody who knows much about Dravet, but if there's someone locally that we could talk to, raise some awareness, I would love to have them in here.
Yeah, that would be very, very helpful.
Isn't it crazy though to see, something like this, you don't even know, most people don't even know it exists.
No. And that's the other good thing about our show. I mean, you and I, we just sit here and we talk.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't have a guest, we talk. But a lot of this stuff comes out when we just have dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't even talk about it before, but just like now.
Yeah,
you
right.
brought it up, and this could be helping somebody.
So, now I'm thinking about it, and I feel like I could even possibly find somebody from that side of the country.
Absolutely go on and see if I can do some research.
But I'm sure I mean, we're in California, probably the most progressive state when it comes to medicine.
Stanford.
Yeah.
You know, I remember we had somebody on that represented Stanford for a walk. But it was a children's hospital, Stanford's wing. I forget what they called it.
Yeah.
But my friend, her daughter was there, and she raved about that hospital. But anyway, maybe we can get somebody out of Stanford.
I would love that. I would love to have somebody with some knowledge of it.
Yeah.
And even what we can do, is there any way to for people to donate? Is there any way to raise awareness?
Yeah.
Is there anywhere to get the word out about it?
Yeah.
And we could talk to people? And if you are somebody who might have a family member or a friend that is experiencing living with a kid with Dravet syndrome, then maybe you can even share some of your knowledge and share your story, if it will help get some recognition and help spread the word. It's worth it for us.
Yeah,
I know it's hard sometimes for parents who are dealing with these things to come on and talk. It's emotional. It's like they're living this. Mm-hmm. But I also know sometimes it's very therapeutic to know that there are people listening, and that maybe your words might reach the one person who can do what it takes to get, you know, to the next level and help to vote.
You know what I think? A lot of the times, I mean, we all go through some pretty bad situations in life situations, just life. But we tend to think quite often that we don't. It's just like we've already done it all. There's nothing else that we can do. That nobody else knows anything more than I do. But guess what? Somebody does.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to find. You know, not just with this, but with everything we talk about. There's always somebody out there that can help.
Yeah.
Always.
Every subject.
Yeah, every subject. And we have the potential to reach thousands of people through this station.
There's nothing more powerful than having knowledge, right? They say knowledge
absolutely.
Is king, right?
Yep.
Imagine if two people with knowledge can come together, what they can do. And I always love that about support groups. I was reading an article once that, like, they say, like, especially people who've had traumatic experiences in life, you know, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, parents of children who died of drunk driving or you know, drug overdoses or whatever.
Being around
people who have gone through the same thing, usually not only is therapeutic, but it also it gives more power right? Because exactly. You're able to kind of put your brains together. And,
right.
It's amazing what people can do when they put their heads together. Mm-hmm. One person is not as powerful as two, and two people are not as powerful as four. And I think that the key is to really kind of put these people together. That's the only thing we can do with this platform is kind of put people together or get them connected in some way.
Yeah.
Because I don't know enough to change any one of these things.
I don't either.
But it's nice to try.
You know, we say what we do is like a conduit information, but we can also use it as a bridge. I mean, it's a bridge too, you know, from getting from one place to another, from being in a situation you are right now to getting on the other side and getting some healing or something about it. So, I feel so blessed, you know, that we can do this program. You know that? I really do.
Yeah. I am too. I mean, I always say it. It's one of the few times during the week where I kind of like shut everything else down. Mm-hmm. When I do this show and when I do a doo-wop show with my father, we record on, we do it online. And it's my two favorite things to do because it's like, you know, it's sort of nothing else in those moments. I'm not going to, nothing is going to take over those.
Right.
That's when I'm shut down. You know, my phone's not, you know, I'm not on my phone. I'm not talking to clients.
Except for your vacations that you take every 2 weeks.
Listen, every 3 weeks. I need that though. That's something different.
I know you do. You do.
But in any case, that's the story today. I would say the best thing we can do is help each other. And if you are one of those people who just want to do something and you don't really know what to do because maybe you just don't have enough on your own, maybe there's somebody you know that you can put us in touch with. I'm going to give the information. There's three things you can do. You could simply go to Bali.
I'm going to hold you to that. I want to see if you remember it all.
Bali923FM.com. That's the easiest because most people know our website.
That's true.
Go to contact and just contact at Bali923FM.com. Mm-hmm. It'll come to me. All right. So just say you heard us on People Helping People.
Yeah.
You like me better than Larry. Those kind of things.
We know that's a lie.
Or you could do our website, which is very simple as well because you know the name of the show. So it's peoplehelpingpeopleradio.com. Mm-hmm. All of our info is there.
Yep.
The other thing you could do is email us directly. They see people helping people at gmail.com. And if you want, I'm not going to give the phone number. I just don't think it's the best. What?
You should always use everything you can because some people won't do anything but call.
All right. So the phone number is 440-0851. Of course, 408. 408-440-0851.
I'm proud of you.
My extension, 104. All right? Yeah. Make you feel better, Larry?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So that's
one of those old-fashioned people.
Can I ask you for some wisdom before we get out of here? You have a couple moments?
I have. It's the same thing we always say. You know, the show's been based on this. We all know somebody that needs help. I mean, even with our schedules, if we just think about it, who in our lives can use some help right now? Find out who they are and see what you can do to help them out. I mean, it's not something you really have to do. If you just contact us, like Greg said, you know, we can do the rest. But that's what makes the show so rewarding is just people helping people. And we all know somebody that we can help. So just go out and find somebody.
I always like when you say, like, just do something nice, right?
Yeah.
Go out and do something nice. If you can't do anything else.
We can always
do
that.
Do it without any expectations of fanfare as well. I think those are the greatest things in the world. When you do something and you're not really ever going to get a thank you for it.
That's true. And you know what else?
What?
You never say, I'm going to try. You just do it.
Just do it.
Yep.
That's good. That's very good.
Yep.
Very, very poignant, Larry.
Thank you.
Unusually poignant for you. All right. Yeah. Listen, thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate you being here with us every week or whenever you are here. We do appreciate you.
Yep.
And we'll be back next week. And, you know, I guarantee you very soon, maybe even next week, we will have guests back in the studio.
The doldrums.
Right we're dog days. But instead of doing we could do reruns. We could.
We could, but
we've done a couple of those when we had to, but it's nice to get in here and talk and explain what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
It always is.
Have a good week, Lara.
You too, bud.
And we'll see you all next week on Bali 92.3 FM.